Me and God's holy word to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Our text this morning is verses 18, 19, and 20. And we'll begin reading in verse 10 to get the context. Hear now the word of the living God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Thus ends the reading of God's very word. Let's pray. Lord, as your little children, we are eager to know you, to grow in you, to feed upon you, Lord Jesus. And so come by your Spirit and take this portion of Scripture and preach your gospel to our hearts. Lord Jesus, we look to you to save us, to keep us, to hold on to us, to build us up in you, our glorious head. Oh Lord, you're the vine, we're the branches. Apart from you, we can do nothing. We can't bear any fruit. You are our life and our joy. And so revive our hearts this day to hope and trust and feed and grow in you. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, today we want to look at the instructions that Jesus gives us regarding prayer, and they come from a gracious Lord. A gracious Lord has given us instructions to pray. And so what is it that we need to learn about prayer? Well, we've seen over the past 3 months just a glimpse of what God says prayer is all about, looking at the Lord's Prayer. And this prayer ends with amen. It is a prayer in and of itself, that one little word. When we are trusting in Jesus, we have access to say, yes, that is true. All that God has told us in the Bible, the gospel itself, everything from Genesis to Revelation, amen. It is true, and we're praying, Lord, make these truths true for us in our experience. And so what is it that the Lord graciously teaches us now here in Ephesians 6? Having just been reminded about what prayer is all about, we see in verse 18, we're to be praying at all times. We're to be praying at all times. We're to be people who eat and breathe talking to God, praising God, begging God for help. I love over in the book of James, and if you'll turn with me in the book of James to chapter 5, James chapter 5, the Lord gives us a summary now, reminding us of when it's appropriate to pray. Look at James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. And so if you have distress, it's an appropriate time to pray. Look at the next phrase. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. And so that pretty well sums it up. If we're suffering, if we're in need, we need to pray, saying, help me, Lord. If we are cheerful, if we don't sense some immediate need, we're to be praying. We're to be saying, thank you. We're to be saying, praise you, Lord. And so Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 says that we are to be talking to God through our Lord Jesus Christ at all times. We're to be eating and breathing. And as we work, we are to be conscious of God's presence and of the joy that we have to be His little children and to be living for Him and in Him and with Him. He indeed is our Emmanuel. And so praying at all times. It ought to be second nature to us when we experience something pleasing and pleasant to immediately be saying, thank you, Jesus. We have to train ourselves. We have to learn how to be those who would pray at all times. When you taste something that is a delight, we ought to be found saying, thank you, Lord. When we have a pleasant experience of being with those that we love, we ought to be saying, thank you, Lord. When we have the joy of working in our callings, we ought to be saying, thank you, Lord. And when we're in need, many times we find ourselves, we try everything and we finally say, well, I've tried everything, yes, I guess we can pray. And we have even found ourselves saying that. But God instructs us. He graciously comes and takes us by the hand. And He says, we're to be praying at all times. We're to be praying not just once in a while, not just on occasion, but we're to be praying all the time. We're just to be walking and talking conscious of the Lord and His goodness and His mercy and His presence. Well, what else does the Lord teach us? And we looked at this, and it's hard to believe that we looked at this back in July, on July the 31st. And here it is, December. But we looked and kind of introduced this whole little series that we did on the Lord's Prayer by looking at this next phrase, praying at all times in the Spirit. And we saw that there are three main things that it means to be praying in the Spirit. And I'll just remind you of them. We're not going to look at all of the passages of Scripture that we looked at. But to pray in the Spirit means that we're praying in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is the chief work of God the Holy Spirit. And you can go and just jot down John chapter 16, that Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He would reveal the things about Jesus to his disciples. And that's what has happened to us if we're a Christian. God the Holy Spirit has come, like we read in John chapter 3, and caused us to be born again. The Spirit of God has taken out our dead heart and given us a heart to trust in Jesus Christ. And so to pray in the Spirit means that we're praying in faith in Jesus Christ. Secondly, to pray in the Spirit means that we're praying according to the revealed will of God. We're praying according to the Spirit's word. The whole Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, our prayers ought to be peppered with Scripture. Our prayers ought to be self-consciously based upon truths of God's Word, of who God says He is, and of what would be proper and right in His sight for us to be saying to God, praising God. What are we going to praise God for? Well, we don't know what is proper. Who is God Himself? If you don't know the Bible, so to pray in the Spirit means that we're praying according to the revealed will of God in Holy Scripture. And what are we going to ask God for? Well, God reveals to us what is true and good and right. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing we saw, to pray in the Holy Spirit means that we are animated. We are stirred up. Because left to ourselves, we just would drift away. But God comes by His Spirit to stoke the fire of love for our God and a heart desiring for His kingdom and His righteousness. And so the second thing that Jesus instructs us graciously, He takes us by the hand. He says, you pray at all times. Secondly, we're to be praying in the Spirit. And then the third thing that we see in verse 18, with all prayer and supplication. We're to be doing all of these things with prayer and supplication. Now, prayer includes, you remember we referred to the little acronym that Matthew Henry talked about. ACTS, A-C-T-S. Adoration, A. Prayer includes us just adoring God, telling God how great He is. A-C, confession. We confess our sins. We confess that we need Jesus as our Savior. T, thanksgiving. We want to remember to thank God for deliverance, for answered prayer, for His healing hand, for His mercy, for showering gift upon gift upon gift upon us. And then S, supplications. Now this word supplication is really an exciting word because the root word of supplication is the same Greek word for beg. And so here's the picture that not only do we come into God's throne room praising Him and thanking Him and confessing our sin Him, but we also come begging. We come laying requests at His feet. And you can just picture yourself as blind Bartimaeus. Okay, you remember in the gospel accounts, here's blind Bartimaeus. And blind Bartimaeus, he's blind. He's dependent on somebody else to take care of him, to give him food, to lead him here and there, to tell him where he is. Blind Bartimaeus. And do you remember what Jesus records for us in his word that blind Bartimaeus prayed? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And so all of our supplications, the things that we need, we have a God who cares for us. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, the Lord tells us to cast all of our cares, all of our anxieties upon him because he cares for us. What an encouragement to pray. Indeed, our Savior is so gracious to give us these instructions. We are beggars, but God is always more than able to take care of whatever our need is. And so the Lord tells us in Philippians chapter 4 that instead of worrying, just turn there with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're to be at all times with all prayer and supplication. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, the man that God used to write these words, where was he when he was calling God's people to rejoice? He was under house arrest in Rome. He was in chains. He was waiting the verdict of Caesar to tell him whether he would be released or whether he would be executed. And so this isn't somebody who is just sitting in a plush a hotel suite with room service and everything is just easy, easy, easy. No, here's a man who doesn't know whether the next day will be the day he's executed. And he says, our God is worthy of praise. Our God is a good God. We can trust him. He has a plan for history. And he has set his love upon us. And because of joining us to his son, we have the privilege of living for him. And so he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness or your patience be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. The Lord, he's at hand. He's right here with us. No matter what our circumstances are, how difficult, how heart-rending our circumstances are, God is still right there with us. And that doesn't mean we will always have a smile on our face. But it means even though in those times when tears are coursing down our cheeks, we still have a God who is good, who is with us, who cares for us, whose promises will always be found to be true. In his own good time, in his own way, we ourselves will testify, yes, indeed, Lord, you are my good, faithful God. The Lord is at hand. And so verse 6, do not worry about anything. And we don't want to worry. I take that back. I have known two people in my life who wanted to worry. They would just go from one thing to another. They would try to find something to worry about. And when they would get relief from one thing, they would hunt for another thing. But most people, we don't want to worry. So how do you keep from worrying? Well, this little term, supplication, us coming and begging the living God. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, and notice the next little phrase, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so here we are. We find ourselves in a crisis situation, and we don't know what to do. And so instead of worrying, God calls upon us to come in the Lord Jesus into his throne room and to lay our beggings before him, to come with supplications, and to lay our requests before the Lord with thanksgiving. And so it looks like this. Lord, here's this situation, and it looks like a hopeless situation. I don't know which way to turn, but I thank you that you have the answers. Lord, I don't know what the answers are, but Lord, you have the answers. You know which way I ought to turn. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust you to just take me by the hand and hold on to me and to help me follow you. And Lord, I thank you that even though I don't see how anything good can come out of this situation, Lord, you've made promises to me, like Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. And so, Lord, I don't see how anything good can come, but Lord, I'm going to trust you up front that you have good in store for me, for my family, for the glory of your name. It means that when we face sickness, we can entrust ourselves like Jesus did into the hands of a faithful God, a faithful creator in doing what's right. Not only when we ourselves are sick, but when we have loved ones who are sick. What a comfort to come as beggars to God and to lay our requests, our supplications, and to say, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this loved one. Lord, you love this child. You love this spouse. You love this parent even more than I do. And I can trust you. That's what Jesus graciously instructs us. And so back to Ephesians 6. Praying at all times. Praying in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication. And then look at the next phrase in verse 18. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And so Jesus graciously instructs us that we're to be praying with and for all the saints. That means that we just don't pray for ourselves. We do start there. Jesus instructs us we're to take the log out of our own eye, and then we can see clearly to help our neighbor, our brother, our sister get the speck out of their eye. And so it is with prayer. We pray for ourselves. We praise God, but we also pray for one another, for the saints. And yes, we are to pray for other people. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Lord tells us to pray for kings and people in all walks of life, for people to be converted. We're to be good Samaritans. But God says we have a special obligation, responsibility to be praying for God's family, to be praying for the household of God, for God's saints. And the word saint is a biblical term that just means holy one, those who have been set apart by God for himself. And we're to be praying for brothers and sisters in Christ. We're to be thanking God for His mercy to them. And we're to be praying that God would bless and keep them. And we're to be praying for the specific needs of God's people. You can't pray for the specific needs of God's people if you don't know. And so, what does that mean? Well, it means we have to have some contact with one another. You hear people say, well, I didn't know that so-and-so was sick. Or I didn't know that they had such heartache. The gathering of God's people together for worship, one of the things that we do when we gather together, we pray together. We pray for specific needs. We thank God. As we read there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when one part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice. And we mention things together that we can praise God for. How God blesses us and keeps us and uses us. We have the joy of entering in to stirring one another up to praise God together in prayer. We also share needs. When one part of the body hurts, the whole body enters in to that pain. Just like the human body, you know, when your taste bud taste something that's just especially delicious, your whole body enters in saying, yes, you know, you say, yum. You might even do a hand gesture. That's good. Your whole body participates. Well, so it is when you mash your thumb. You're hammering. Boom, you hit the wrong nail. And, you know, you don't hold your thumb at a distance and it's throbbing and go, you know, I bet that thumb really hurts. No, you participate. And so God calls upon us to know one another in the Lord Jesus, to be sharing praises and needs, not only in our corporate worship, but prayer meeting. If you can't come, you can send specific matters of praise or need so that the body can be making supplication. We can pray together. Isn't it an encouragement to you if you have some heartache or sickness or you've had a loss, for people to say to you, I just want you to know I've been praying for you. What a comfort that is. What an encouragement. So we have to know one another. And I know many of your schedules are such that you can't come Wednesday night. But if there are matters of praise, send that message on so that we can rejoice together. And if you have opportunity, we have some people who they tune in to the Zoom prayer meeting while they're eating, you know, and they put it on mute so that you don't hear all the slurping and so forth. And that's fine. But what a blessing it is that we get to enter into a sharing together. And of course, we learn to do that in the big family that we're a part of, in our own families. That's where we first learn how to pray for one another. husbands and wives sharing specific things. When was the last time you told your husband or your wife, honey, I want you to please pray for me. I've just been having trouble being patient. Duh. That's very evident. That was supposed to be a joke. You can see things, but we need to be talking one to another. Pray for me. I'm concerned for this particular child or grandchild. Or let's rejoice together. Look what God has done. I had a particular problem at work, and the Lord has just worked it out. Let's just stop right now and thank the Lord with me. That ought to be taking place in our homes. That ought to be taking place in our church family. And so may the Lord stir us up. Jesus graciously gives us these instructions to pray. Well, the last thing that we see, we also need to be praying for preachers. And I think we'll just stop. There are two other things that we'll see that flow out of that in verses 19 and 20. And also for me that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. And so we'll look at that next week, but please pray for the preaching of the gospel because preachers can't do anything in their own strength or wisdom. We indeed need Jesus. And so may the Lord write these gracious instructions upon our heart to grow us in Jesus, to know Him, to love Him, and to better serve Him together. That's what we see in the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters focusing on the gospel, what God has done to save His people, what He is doing, what He will do. And the last three chapters, what difference does it make to know Jesus, to be the object of God's love? And so today we have looked at these gracious instructions that our Savior has given to each of us to pray. May the Lord write these things upon our hearts that we would not be those who just look in the mirror and then forget as soon as we leave, but be doers of the word. Those who would say, Lord, help me to grow in prayer. Amen. It's a powerful tool. A powerful weapon, and it's important. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word and pray that You would write these precious truths upon us, that we would grow. Thank You, O Lord, for Your people who are prayer warriors, who are those who are just in the habit of praying at all times. Thank You, Father, for those that You have blessed in our congregation who are mighty in Your Spirit. Lord, praying in the Spirit. Father, we all desire to grow in these precious truths. And Lord, the other things that we have learned about being beggars and about being those who devote ourselves to prayer with perseverance. Lord, write these things upon our hearts. Make us those who grow even stronger. Lord, to wield this privilege and this weapon to be standing ourselves and being a blessing to our own families and our church family and your church even to the ends of the earth. Lord, thank you that we can pray and stir us up to pray and make us, Lord, eager and hungry to be praising you even more and sharing things that we have upon our hearts even more for your praise. In Jesus we beg. Amen.